Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, is spring beginning to tickle your fancy? If so, you're right alongside with millions of other people. In fact, the kids are even getting bitten by the spring bug. I'm seeing them in our neighborhood out playing ball. Sometimes it's football, and sometimes it's baseball. And we're going to be talking about baseball this afternoon with a former major leaguer, Jack Perconte. Jack, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Donna. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
Well, I was fascinated when I found out about your book because the title is 60,000. That's a big number. 60,000 hitting lessons, hit it, fix it, coach it. And it's a hands-on baseball guide for parents, coaches, and players. You have a background in the baseball line of activity here. You were drafted in 1976 by the Los Angeles Dodgers, and this, you said, was done in the 16th round. You played second base in the major leagues on and off between 1980 and 1986 for the Dodgers, the Indians, the Mariners, which are in my home turf, in the Pacific Northwest, and the White Sox, and you feel that some of the most significant times of your life were like in the 1981 World Championship with the Dodgers and tying the then Mariner record of 180 hits in 1984. Now, you retired in 1987. You opened up your own sports academy in Naperville, Illinois, and for 19 years plus, you taught baseball and softball, and then you decided you wanted to retire, you wanted to write books, and you wanted to coach. Well, I'd say your life has been absolutely fascinating. You have done what you've had a passion for, but give us a background about yourself. How is it that you came to love this sport, which for all intents and purposes, many people think the golden years were Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, you know, there's just so many big names. What was it with you? Why did you get the baseball bug?
Well, it probably started with my parents, you know, and I think that was probably where they influenced me at a young age to really like sports and, you know, like to play. And when I grew up, I played all three sports. You know, back then it was mainly just the three sports, but I just developed a love for playing, and then as I got older, I, you know, moved towards baseball more and more. And like I say, it just happened at a young age where I just had a passion for playing and learning about the game. And I'm sure it started with my parents and just enjoying it and having fun and learning, you know, was important, I guess, at a young age.
Now, you said since you've retired in 1987, you've been a doctor sometimes and sometimes a psychologist with hitters. Who are some of the youngest people that you have helped to train?
Well, I would say actually 5 or 6 years old would be the youngest. You know, that's an age where kids will just start to begin to play, and it's not an age where you give a lot of instruction, but you can have fun at that age and let them develop the fun for the game, you know, where they just at that age, they just love to swing a bat and run the bases, you know, and learn to catch the ball. So 5 or 6 is, you know, a great age to start. And once again, not an age where you have to teach too much, but just have fun with it. And then when they move into the 7, 8-year-old age is when you're going to start to try to instill the fundamentals into them more.
Now, with you, you have given over 60,000 lessons. Again, that is just a huge number. And what is, to you, the most important thing? Because when you're training someone that's beginning to train, just, you know, like you said, 5 or 6 year olds, they just want to be out there playing. You have the little leagues that are started up. So often the parents get so involved in the little leagues that the kids really don't have fun. But you don't have that attitude. You want kids to have fun. You want them to really enjoy the game, correct?
That's so true, you know, and that's kind of why I wrote the book, I guess, is that I want to give parents and coaches ways of making the things fun for kids that they can enjoy, and not just playing, you know. All the, you know, kids generally love to play the game, but very often they don't like to practice the game. So I tried to put a lot of the, you know, the things that I learned over the years into the book to where parents and coaches can make the game fun while kids are practicing, you know. And that's probably the most important thing, is that they just enjoy going out and practicing and playing catch and things like that, and once again let the games take care of themselves.
Now that's something I think is very important, because your motor skills are being developed when you're little like that. So when kids can participate in a game and they can have fun with it, and I think baseball is a great way to develop coordination. And I think oftentimes there are parents that want their kid, you know, maybe they want it always to be a major leaguer, or they have the love for the game and they want to live through their kids. And that really is not the best way to get a kid enthusiastic about a game, at least in my observation. Correct me if you think I'm wrong.
No, I think you're right, and, you know, it's... One thing I always like to say is, you know, the great players are going to be great probably no matter what, but it's the average players that the coaches and the parents can make such a difference for, you know, that they can, you know, just help them to become fundamentally better and to enjoy the game and to learn to, you know, what the game's all about, so that they can, you know, like the game even beyond when they were playing it, you know, when they get old and retire or whatever, that they still enjoy baseball and can share it with their sons and daughters someday.
Now, baseball, the eye-hand coordination that is developed when a youngster is playing, I think is incredible, because when they're dealing with the speed of a ball being pitched to them, if they're up at bat, they're going to be hitting, there is that has to be developed. And through practice and through playing, learning how to catch a ball, it doesn't sound like much, but you are having to develop a whole multitude of levels of sensory capacity when you're doing that, visually, through your hearing, through your muscle response. So let's just take some breakdowns with ages. When you have a child that's, let's say, between 5 and 8 years of age, what would you encourage a parent to do in the way of, let's say, playing out in the backyard, or, you know, if they want them to go into Little League, what would you say to them? What kind of exercises? Because really that's what it is. It's that repetition over and over again. What would you say to that mom and dad, aunt or uncle or whoever, that would like to work with kids that way to help them develop all of their sensory levels? Because it all goes into the package. What would you recommend that they do just to play a game?
Well, the number one thing is to just do what your suggestion is, to go out and play with them, you know. And I try to tell parents that kids are going to kind of mimic what they see. So, you know, not all parents are fundamentally correct, but they should try to do things somewhat correct, because their kids are going to kind of key off what they see. And so if the parents can kind of fundamentally try to do things correct, that is the first thing. And then from there, it's just, you know, mechanically trying to challenge the kids. One of my favorite sayings is to challenge up until the point of where frustration sets in and then back off a little bit. So it's important to challenge kids even at a younger age, because they'll usually rise to the challenge, but also they won't get better unless you do challenge them. So you do want to challenge, but if you see they're starting to get frustrated or, you know, not having as much fun, then you have to back off, obviously, and just kind of ease up a little bit on them. But it's okay to challenge kids, but the number one thing, I guess, is to go out and just do it with your kids, you know, play with them whenever they want to and not just when you want to.
Now let's focus on you for a minute. You have been in the major leagues. You know all about the stresses. You know what it's like to be out there and maybe have a crowd booing at you, or fortunately they don't throw rotten eggs to the best of my knowledge, but you know, you have those moments when you just think, I might have been better off being a mechanic. And that's going to happen to everybody. And I think when you're in sports, you have to learn how to deal with the ups and downs, because nobody's perfect all the time. What were some of your greatest challenges as you were coming up into your own, in developing your own skills?
Well, with me, Donna, you kind of hit it right on the head there, and it's all about confidence, you know. And if you did see my book, you would notice that I played even in the major leagues without a lot of confidence, and that was always my big drawback. You know, I just never, for some reason, felt like I belonged. And when I kind of got out of the game, I started to understand more about that. And the reason I lost confidence is that I just didn't have a real good knowledge of the fundamentals of the game, you know. And so when I started to do bad, I just didn't know how to, you know, adjust. And so it took me to get out of the game and teach it for a number of years before I really started to understand it. And so confidence is obviously such a big thing at any level, and it's something that, you know, a coach can help young players with, if they can help them to be confident in themselves and to believe in themselves. And, you know, there are many times where the parents get down on a kid and the coaches get down, but I always tell the kids that, you know, not to lose faith in yourself.
I want to address a concern that I know a lot of parents have. We've had so much in the media over the past few years about the use of steroids, of various drugs in the sports industry, and it has really caused a disillusionment, I think, in the minds of many adults and the kids. Do you think they really have any heroes today that they can look up to in baseball?
Well, I think they do, but I think they're starting to question who their heroes are. You know, I have sons and daughters, and they've admired some of the great players, and they were their heroes. And now, like you say, when you read about this, it really disillusions them. So I think there will always be heroes, but, you know, it's just unfortunate. It's kind of our culture that we teach everybody to, you know, work as hard as you can, be the best you can, and then unfortunately, some people take it too far, you know, and they go beyond the rules, and it's very unfortunate. But, you know, I guess we have to treat it as a teaching moment, you know, for our kids, to try to understand that, you know, the players make mistakes too, and they're not superheroes, that they're just baseball players in a sense.
You talk about practice and how important that practice is, and that's what your book is about. You have all of these wonderful photographs and positions that you show, that so that if one is an adult that has children and a kid says, I want to go play baseball, you can support them by understanding the right ways to hold a bat, to know how to stand, how to move the body, how you will position yourself so that you're going to win. And the interesting thing is, everybody's built differently. As a coach, you know, you have some people that have short torsos, others that have longer torsos, and short legs, long legs, and everybody has their own particular movement. And when you've got a kid that's growing, my goodness, one week they might be perfectly balanced, and the next week they've sprouted 3 inches, like my girlfriend's son. I mean, he's, you know, 13 years old, and all of a sudden
right.
It's like, Mother, I need new pants. You know, his pants are up around his calves because he's just seemingly sprouted overnight. You have these conditions that are with kids. How do you work with that? Is there a difference when someone has a longer torso, a shorter torso, with their stance, how they move, how they hold the bat? How do you work with those variables?
Well, we start to get a little technical when you ask that, but what I like to say is that everybody has their own style, you know, and style is kind of how they look, you know, their stance and their setup, and that's your style. But when it comes to swinging the bat, you know, when the ball's there, then the good hitters all do the same things, and that's where you want everybody to be uniform. So as a coach, you kind of allow the differences in their style, but when it comes to their actual swing, the fundamentals have to be correct. And, you know, what I found is the younger that you're able to teach that, the better, because it's very hard to change habits, you know, and when you start getting kids that are 15, 16, 17 years old, and they've been doing something fundamentally wrong for a number of years, it's very difficult to change, whereas you get a 9 or 10-year-old and they've only been doing it for a short time, it's much easier to change. So it's not necessarily their size and that, it's more or less their habits. And if you can, you know, get them young enough, then it can really make a big difference. And I tell everybody that, you know, even though you're small now, you're going to eventually grow and be just as big as most kids. And so if you fundamentally are correct, then you're going to catch up and pass a lot of the players that maybe were better than you at a younger age.
Well, those of you that are parents out there, this is a book that really is a good one. If you know of anybody that could use some inside track information, then you're going to want to get his book. And again, the title of the book, for those of you just tuning in, it's 60,000 Hitting Lessons. It's a hands-on baseball guide for anyone who wants to use it. Now, let's address the length of the bat. This was a real education for me. I am not a big person into the baseball arena, and it just never crossed my mind that you needed to look at the length of a bat, the bat size. Tell us why this is so important. I just thought you handed a kid a bat, and a bat was a bat. But that's not the truth, is it?
No, because if they, you know, with the wrong size bat, a lot of times the bat's going to actually swing the kid instead of the swing the kid, you know what I mean by that. And so that can create a problem. And then the second thing is if they have the wrong size bat, then they're probably going to stand in the wrong position in the batter's box, which is going to mean that they're liable to create the wrong fundamentals to swing because, you know, they're not lined up correctly. So the bat is important, and, it all starts there with the hitter.
You say that with the bat, if they're under 7, they should use a T-ball bat. And then, you know, it starts at 27 inches in length. And then by the time they're a freshman and sophomore in high school and on varsity, then it goes to a 33-inch minus 3. Now, is that the standard for professional baseball, or is the baseball bat different for the pros?
Yeah, everything's different, Donna, because in kids baseball up through high school and even in college now, I guess, they use aluminum bats, whereas in professional baseball, only wood bats are allowed. So it's a whole different ball game for the professionals than it is for college and high school on down. So the wood bat and the aluminum bats are, you know, it's a whole different feel.
Now, when you're drilling a kid, drills are important. The adage, practice, 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 and more practice is very important. I see where you use pad drops when you're trying to teach them how to keep balance, move a certain way. All of this is really important. How do kids respond to this? Is this part of what you were talking about earlier where you challenge them?
It is, and also it's, I like to, you know, when you have to practice so much, if you do the same thing over and over and over again, it can get very boring and monotonous for kids and for coaches and everybody. So if you, you know, the more variety you can put into the work with the kid, you know, so that's just a different way of adding variety but still teaching the right thing. So we use a lot of different props sometimes and different size bats and things to help kids. But also it's to break up the monotony so that they, you know, aren't doing the exact same thing for the whole time. And they tend to enjoy that more, and it does challenge them, obviously, too.
There is a saying that the major leagues were the easiest place to play, but the hardest place to get to. How true is that today?
Well, that's one of the sayings we used to all say among ourselves, and in a way, it's very true because the conditions at the major league level are just the best for everything, you know, and it's just, you know, it's the life in a sense Whereas getting to the major leagues, when you think of how many kids start out in Little League Baseball, and from the time they're 5, 6, 7 years old, there's millions and millions of kids. And so to be able to get to the major leagues is obviously very competitive, and it takes a lot of, you know, skill, but it also takes a lot of luck and a number of variables. But once you get to that level, once again, the conditions are great, and, you know, it's really once again, it's an easy place to play in that regard. You know, the competition's obviously very good, but once you get to that level, you know, you don't pick up your own bags and that. They get them all to the hotel for you, all kinds of little things that, you know, you never dream of when you're younger, I guess.
As well as the paycheck. That's not a bad thing, too.
Well, that's, yeah, that's really changed since I've got out of the game, I guess.
Substantially over the years. Now, I noticed in one of the photos that you have in your book, you made a rectangle that was upright, and you had 9 spots within that rectangle. And when you were training kids, you would say, try to hit those spots when
right.
you're hitting.
Right.
That is a phenomenal challenge, just the eye-hand coordination that would develop with that. I look at that and I think, holy Moses. That's a tough thing to do. How do you know that they've actually hit them?
It is a tough thing to do, but, you know, if you ever notice, even the real great players, but when they take their practice swing, very often they'll swing, you know, in the exact same groove all the time, but that's really not hitting because the ball is very rarely in that same groove. So we try to get kids to be able to adjust to different pitches, you know, within the strike zone. So we kind of take out, you know, the 9 different areas and try to get them so they can fundamentally and as quick as they can get the bat to those different areas, you know. So it's just another drill and another way of creating the variety that you want to help kids and to challenge them.
Now, you also have some illustrations here. I really got an education about baseball that I never, ever
I thought I'd ever get. I think you should have been a coach, Donna.
Tell us about the sweet spot on the bat. Yeah. I said sweet spot. You've got to be kidding me. And here you've got to tell my audience what this is. I mean, it's just great.
Well, when the ball is hit in that certain area there, you know, the fat part of the bat, that's where the ball is going to obviously be hit the most solid and hit the furthest. So that's the area on the bat that you want to make contact if you can, and that creates, you know, the most power off of the bat. And that's kind of, we were talking earlier about the aluminum and the wood, and that's mm-hmm. kind of the biggest difference is with the wood bat, there's a much smaller sweet spot, and with the aluminum bat, there's a bigger sweet spot, and also, you know, obviously if it hits the aluminum anywhere, it can creates a little more force.
So the aluminum bat actually has more of an impact when it connects with the ball to force that ball to go further. Now that's fascinating to me because the aluminum bat is substantially lighter than the wood. Am I correct in assuming that or am I wrong? I mean, if you have the pros and they're using a wood bat, and they get that sweet spot, and they're out there to hit a home run, you know, where hopefully goes over the field fence, whatever, you know, ballpark you're playing in, where there might be a possibility of that. Is the wood, is it really more of a muscle combination with the bat that it's like the energy of the muscles creating that momentum that when that wood bat hits, it'll go further, or would it be greater with an aluminum bat?
It's greater with the aluminum. You can get more bat speed with an aluminum bat, and so the ball comes off faster, and that's the reason they'll probably never have aluminum bats at the professional level because it would just become too dangerous of a game, you know, where the ball's coming off the bat so fast the players wouldn't have time to react. And so, and over the years, they've kind of made the bats less lethal, in a sense, the aluminum bats, because it was getting dangerous even at the high school and college level. So they've had to tone them down a little bit so they're not as dangerous.
That's very interesting. Who would have thought that? I mean, you just go out to play ball. You're not in, you know, you're not concerned about any of that. At least I would never.
Right.
When
right.
I played softball in school, that wasn't something. You just had the cotton pick and bat, and you had to figure out how you were going to connect the stupid thing with a, excuse me, that's the female side, with a ball that's being thrown at you. But again, it was quite a challenge to learn how to gauge, to learn how to do the speed.
Right.
To know
right.
how to connect, because you have all kinds of balls that can be pitched that come at different speeds. And wow, what's the fastest speed for a ball being pitched in a ball game?
Well, there are a few guys that can throw 100 miles an hour when you get to the major league level, so that's, you know, pretty remarkable right there.
That is remarkable. So the hand-eye evaluation of the brain coordination is an incredible thing. It really is. And I think it's a great exercise for kids. I really
right.
do. I think
mm-hmm.
it's marvelous. I don't think many adults want to slide home, and we don't have the resiliency of those younger bodies, but holy Joseph, it really is it's a great exercise because they're getting running, it's eye-hand-body coordination, and it's learning good sportsmanship. And I was astonished at the Little Leagues at how much they have expanded and the participation worldwide in the
ball
game.
Exactly, yeah, it is a worldwide game now, and it's, you know, in my mind, it's the greatest game there is because, like you say, it involves so much, the hand-eye and, you know, the legs and the upper body and everything, and it's, and I always tell people it's, you know, also tough because nothing gets hidden in baseball, you know, it's everything's out there in the wide open for everybody to see, you know, the ball against the player, and it's, you know, it's not like in the other sports where they got big scrums and that where you can't quite see what everybody's doing. And in baseball, everything's right out in the wide open, so it's a high-pressure game in that regard.
And the discipline to be able to be a good player is so important. Let's talk about parents for a minute. You have a parent that comes up to you and say, hey, I want my son or my daughter to be the next Babe Ruth, next Mickey Mantle, or whoever they come up with. How do you work with that parent? Because sometimes parents can be a real pain.
Well, they can. You know, I try to tell them that, you know, I can't make them a major leaguer and they can't make them a major leaguer, that, you know, only the player themselves can make themselves a major leaguer. And that obviously is going to only happen if that player has a love for the game, you know. And it's not going to happen just because the parent has a love or wants it to happen. The player himself has to have a love for it, and that's the beginning. And then from there, it's going to take a lot of hard work, obviously. So, you know, I've gotten that many times over the years, and you just try to, you know, explain to them. And even to the kid, you want to talk to him and just say, you know, your parent wants the best for you, even though they might put a little pressure on you, you know, but they just want the best for you.
Well, you say you remember your very first hit. And you talk about being with the Los Angeles Dodgers in 1980. You were at the big league level, and you did a bunt on a suicide squeeze play. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Well, those baseball biggies that are out there listening know more about that than I do. But it's got an excitement to it, and you said it was just pure luck.
It was, because generally when you bunt the ball, you want to put the ball down just right out in front of home plate there on the ground, you know, and that would be your job on that play. Well, like I said, I was very nervous at the time, so I was just happy to get the ball on the bat on the ball. And when I did, I bunted it way too hard and popped it up, and it actually went over the pitcher's head. So it was very lucky, and then I was able to beat it out at first base and get a base hit out of it and score the run at the same time. So it was total luck, but once again, the nerves were pretty high at the time.
Well, for those of you that are lovers of baseball, male, female, I don't care what your age is, if you've got a kid, if you want to work with kids with this, if you know of someone that's involved in Little League, if you just love the game, this book is marvelous. It is a great conversation piece. Just think, you could talk about the soft spot on a baseball bat, and you'll have everybody's attention within a split second, because they'll say, what are you talking about? Say, well, I read Jack Perconi's book, and this is what he says.
There you go. 60,000
hitting lessons. Hit it, fix it, coach it. It's a hands-on baseball guide for parents, coaches, players, any of you that love the game of baseball. And he's got a wonderful website called hittinglessons.com. Now, am I correct? Is it lessons singular or lessons plural?
Lessons plural, Dana.
Lessons plural. Hittinglessons.com. Go on in, check it out. If you love the game, if you know of someone who loves the game, this is a must-have for your library. You know, even he said, I sounded like I could be a good coach. Well, hey, I never will be one, but it's a great book to read.
Thank you, Jack.
I want to thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you, and I enjoy your show, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jack. It's been a pleasure. Go play ball, because it's that time of year. It's springtime, and this is the Donna Sebo Show. We are going to be taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Hey, telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone number is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. And for those of you listening to the show for the first time, I'm so delighted you've been able to join our listening family. And if you'd like to call in and chat with me, just know all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, just let me be that information resource that perhaps can give you some perspectives you might otherwise never have considered. And that's all I need, first name or initial. And again, I love to know where you're calling from. So give me a buzz, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. I wanted to share with you some information about some breakthroughs that are occurring in the medical area. As those of you who know, who listen to my show on a regular basis, I really believe in being proactive for wellness, both with nutrition and with becoming aware of ourselves as individuals, because we all have our own quirks and uniqueness as far as what we can have. I was talking with a friend just yesterday, and what happened to him, and I had no knowledge of this. We were discussing nutrition, and in the course of our conversation, he came out with a statement he couldn't have anything that had citrus in it. And I thought, well, that's very odd, because I remember being with him and him having all kinds of tomatoes and, you know, those fruits that are and vegetables, and I'll get to the caller in just a moment, but those things that have the citrus base. Well, I'm going to take this caller first, and when I come back, I'm going to share with you what this friend of mine told me, and then I'm going to want to share some of the latest progressions in medicine that I think are really going to make some differences for us. Let's go to our first caller today, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hello, Donna?
Yes, dear, you're going
this
to need to speak
Fendi
up louder, please.
From New York.
From New York, and your first name or initial, please?
F-A-F-A-N? Oh, you mean my name initial? F-L.
F-L, okay. And are you in New York City?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great place. I'm looking forward to coming back this year sometime. Okay, FL, the first thing that I'm looking at in my mind is you must not let your emotions take you off into so many different directions. I think you're a natural-born worry wart. I think you are someone that tries to have control over as much as you can. You don't just like to let things go. You have a real desire to make sure that things are organized, they're in their place, that you know where everything is and how everything is going. If you were a concert pianist, that would be 100% mm-hmm. of what you would be focused on, is having everything in perfect technical coordination. And what I'd like for you to be aware of is those are disciplines that I think are very significant. They're very valuable. But I'd like for you to relax a little bit and trust mm-hmm. in yourself and trust that things can flow for you. You don't have to have that severe regimentation. I am looking at a stress level with you that is so high that I'm pooped when I'm just feeling this. It's like it's exhausting to me.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to take breaks, hon, where you can do some deep breathing, maybe some meditation, maybe just walk around the block, or do something that's a no-brainer, that's just fun, and what I call fun and fluff,
mm-hmm.
where you don't have to make up anything, you don't have to control anything, you just relax. Because
mm-hmm.
you're going to pay a price, health-wise, that I don't think is going to be a lot of fun. So I do not want you to not have your disciplines. I would not say to you, just give them all up. That would be dumb, because
mm-hmm.
those disciplines are very valuable. But you need to learn how to release and let go sometimes of things
mm-hmm.
that you absolutely have no control over, so that it doesn't become all stuck in the middle part of your body. I just feel like someone's put me into a corset that's
mm-hmm.
that's strung up so tightly I can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to be good to yourself. I want you to relax. I'd love you to have beautiful music in your environment, have beautiful art.
Uh-huh.
Keep a mental presence where you can learn how to detach from what you cannot control. And that will enable you to have a much richer, a much healthier, and a much fuller life for yourself. Don't worry about money, because it's all going to stabilize. What's on your mind? What would you like to ask me today?
Yes, I would like to know, what you say is right. I don't know, I don't know what to focus these days. And also, I'm trying to buy a condo or a house. The place I couldn't pick up, because two places is I couldn't decide. One is Manhattan, one is countryside, half hour from Manhattan. And then because one is nearby my relative, my ma, and then Manhattan is easy convenience for me to shopping, to go to work, and then also the countryside is cheaper, the price cheaper. Manhattan is more expensive. Lower Manhattan.
Okay, I'm having a hard time hearing you. Your voice is soft.
Oh, I said I can't decide which place, so I buy the house or a condo.
Well,
I couldn't decide.
The decision must be based on what kind of lifestyle you like.
my
you know,
life.
If you enjoy being in downtown Manhattan, which is just a very vibrant
mm-hmm.
area, and enjoy the convenience of being right in the middle of everything,
yes.
that's one aspect. If you want to have something that gives you the opportunity to be close enough to Manhattan, if you're only half hour away and yet you're out in the country, so to speak, where you have trees and you've got green around you and you've got a good amount of space, the choice is entirely up to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at your lifestyle.
Now,
I couldn't hear some of the things that you were saying. Are you saying that when you buy your residence, whether it's the condo or the house,
Yeah, I'm trying to
relatives living with you?
Actually, I like to have condo, but the one family house is almost the same price like condo. And then I trying to look for both condo or one family house. And then these days I'm looking for 20 days, and then I'm thinking about Manhattan again. Manhattan only condo. Like two bedroom, because the price I couldn't pick up two bedroom condo.
All right, you're saying you could not afford the two bedroom condo?
No, cannot.
All
only
right.
two bedroom.
Well, what if you would like Manhattan? And Manhattan's real estate is very, very expensive.
I know.
So you have to look at
mm-hmm.
what for you is the most significant. And if you're living by yourself, you may find that there will be a condo in Manhattan
mm-hmm.
that you would be able to buy. But it's not necessarily going to be all that big.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
your home in the country, as mm-hmm. you describe it, may well be more suited if you want more room.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all up to you, dear. There's no good or bad with either one of these.
Okay.
They're
yeah.
both... Both positive. So it's up to you. It's your
yeah.
lifestyle.
Lifestyle, eh? Yeah.
And you need to feel comfortable.
I don't know if I stay close to my mom and my sister, brother, or I shouldn't think about that. I should go what I like.
Whatever it is that you want,
mm-hmm.
that's what you need to focus on.
Okay.
But you're not going to make a bad decision either way.
Okay.
Either decision is going to be good for you. But you
okay.
have to make the one that feels best for you.
Okay. Yeah, I need sometimes to look for. Okay, thank you, Dara.
You're welcome. I'm sorry
okay.
I'm not able to give you a black and white answer because, again, there is no bad answer with your question.
Yeah, okay. Have a nice day.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
Bye. This is Donna Siebel. Hey, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And again, all I need from you is your first name or initial, and then after that, I'll give you my perceptions. I was going to tell you about some of the latest changes that are evolving. And this one in particular grabbed my attention primarily because hello? Oh, we've got another caller. I didn't realize we had another caller on the line. Yes, sir. First name or initial.
How are you?
Where are you calling from?
Fine, thank you. My name is Tony. I'm from Los Angeles.
Hi, Tony. And, Tony, I need to tell you, we're going to be going to break in about a minute and a half. So
okay.
if I ask you to stay on the line, don't hang up.
Okay, we'll
All
do.
All right? Now, Tony, the first thing that I am looking at with you is you've got quite a bit of hard work ahead of you. This is not bad, but I want to just say keep those shirt sleeves rolled up because for you to achieve what you want to achieve, it's going to take the discipline and the follow-through that you have already been employing on one particular level. You're going to want to expand with it. You're going to want to grow with it. And you are going to be changing your direction about how you go after what it is that you want, and you're going to be very methodical about what you do, and I think that is very, very good. You are going to find your financial positioning is going to be stronger. You are going to be more disciplined with saving than you've been in the past, and I'm watching you really paying attention to your own physical wellness in a way that you've not done before. It's as if it's very, very much more alert to your own particular flags. Now, Tony, we've got to go on a break for a moment. If you'll stay with me, we'll be coming back. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be coming back to Tony, and if you want to chat with me, the number to call into is 877-876-5227 or Canadian 888-815-9756. Don't hang up, Tony. We're going to put you on pause or on hold for just a moment, and then we're going to come right back. This is Donna Sebo. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Before I go back to Tony, I want to remind those of you that listen regularly to the show, Teresa Tapp, who has that wonderful offer to anyone that wants to get her TTAP core exercise program, which I recommend highly. And it's on a special. It was this week and next week. It's $10 for that. If you order her book, you will get it as a compliment to the book as well. That'll be free. But if you just want to get the DVD, go to her website, TTAPP.com, and order it, because it's a special for 2 weeks only. And I wanted to be sure to remind you of that. It is a marvelous DVD. You don't want to miss it. If you wanted to get in shape, springtime, ladies and gentlemen, this is effortless. It works. Believe me. I know. I've used it. Okay, let's go back to Tony. Tony, did you have a question for me?
Yes. I'm pursuing my art.
And all right, speak up a little louder, Tony. Your phone's dropped up on dropped down under your chin.
I'm pursuing my art, and I was just wondering, how does it look to get into galleries if I'm going in the right direction with my paintings?
Well, I'd like you to keep your eye open for galleries that you might, and I use the plural. I think just to look for one is not a good idea.
Right.
I would encourage you to talk with some of your fellow artists. Find out about the various galleries, because there are galleries and there are galleries.
Right.
Dependent on your style and what it is that you have to prove, and maybe you're doing some of these sidewalk shows, mm-hmm. which is always a good way to go.
Right.
I know I love them when I'm in New York or in Honolulu, because they're just great. But if you're able to do anything like that, that'll give you some extra expertise. But when you're working with galleries, you need to talk to some people that really have the inside track on doing it and how you can protect yourself as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say this is, and this is very practical information, I've known many, many artists who have been just so upset with galleries they've worked with. They've not gotten paid. Their art hasn't come back to them. They just go on and on and on with complaints.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're an artist, if you do not have a business style to yourself, which many artists don't, you need to find someone who is going to, who's going to have integrity and ethics. And when you find that gallery and or those persons that are of that nature, you've got a win-win situation.
Right.
And I've known some wonderful galleries that they are just so upfront with their artists. They pay them promptly when an item
right,
is sold.
Right.
They keep a good track on the inventory, mm-hmm. and if things need to be rotated, they always let the artist know. But it's building relationships with people.
Mm-hmm.
So can you be in a gallery? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to encourage you, do your homework first.
All right. What do you think of, I'm starting to gather my paintings and information. I was thinking of a website, of developing a website with me.
Oh, that's excellent. Good. That is always excellent.
Talk to
some of the artists that have found this to be a very successful patterning for them, because
mm-hmm.
you need to be able to know how to bring traffic to your website.
Right.
And I'll tell you, one of the best ways is to put yourself out into public view.
Mm-hmm.
But having a website as an artist, I think it's almost mandatory today.
Okay. Sounds good. So so it still looks good because, you know, I was born to paint, so I'm not going to stop. And I'm very conscientious about focusing on my work.
Well, you're a very disciplined person in that I saw you with your shirt sleeves rolled already up, and
thank
I just said keep them there because there is still a lot more hard work ahead of you. So you are committed and you have the dedication, and I would say give it the best of the best of yourself, and I think you will be rewarded, but I want you to be savvy because it can save you from an ugly learning curve that you shouldn't have to go through.
Right.
So if you have artist friends that you respect, one of the things I've found in working in the artistic community with artists when I've done art shows and have chaired them and prepared them, I have found that they usually are so open. They have such an open attitude. There's
that's
a few that don't, but they really say, hey, I've been beaten to a pulp. I don't want you to go through it. Let me teach you what I know. So you have to find out what works for you.
Right. Well, that sounds like sound advice.
Wonderful, Tony. And I want to thank you for calling in.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
It's my pleasure.
All right.
Let me know how it turns out for you, Tony.
I will. God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. By the way, I want to apologize to those of you who have been trying to send me emails at donna@delphiinternational.com. We learned just today, because we've been having trouble with our computer system for a little bit over a month, and we have been going around in circles with this, and we found out that something had been corrupted on a server. So we were finally able to resolve that today. So again, I apologize to those of you that have been trying to send me something, and I want you to know that now that that corruption has been found, yes, it finally has been found. We have been able to correct it, and if you want to reach me, do it on donna@delphiinternational.com, and we will be getting it now. So I want to apologize for any inconvenience that has been caused to you. Well, I know I don't have time enough to take another call, so let me finish this information on nanotechnology. Now, this is not something brand new, but the application of an item called a nanotube and using heat, well, they're finding it may be the breakthrough that we need to do a type of treatment for cancer cells and not negate the healthy cells. They said liver cancer that works from inside the tumor without damaging neighboring tumor, that's what this kind of treatment is going to be all about due to the development of tiny nanotubes. Now, they have been doing experiments with rabbits, and these are scientists at the University of Texas and Rice University, that implanted the carbon tubes into liver tumors. Now, these are so tiny that 75,000 of these nanotubes lined up side by side would be about the width of a human hair. The rabbits were exposed to radio waves. The nanotubes produced heat, which ultimately destroyed the tumor. Now, they're guesstimating that it might be 5 years before this is going to be available. I heard about a microwave technology doing something similar in 1980. Don't know what happened to it, just sort of disappeared. But things are changing, ladies and gentlemen, and a lot of the treatments that have been considered the absolute, the only thing that can be done, those things are perhaps going to be obsolete within a relatively short period of time. So whatever you do, If you know someone that's going through challenges, keep searching, keep exploring. You never know who or where in the world is going to be coming up with that may be needed by your loved one or someone else's. So it's important to stay alert. This is Donna Sebo. It has been a fabulous hour. Thank you so much for being with me. Regrettably, we are out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And I'm just looking forward to this weekend, and there's so many exciting things coming up next week, and I know you're going to have a fabulous weekend yourself. Live life. Sip the nectar of joy wherever you go, because it'll just make you glow. Donna Sebo, talk with you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.